It's a tough situation to deal with when a teenager slips up, commits a crime, and gets caught or even arrested. Common solutions in the criminal justice realm have been fines, community service, probation, or even juvenile detention. But there's a growing movement in Wisconsin to divert teenaged first-time offenders of non-serious crimes away from the traditional court system and into restorative justice programs, otherwise known as teen courts. And one of the newest teen courts in Wisconsin is starting up this month in Dunn County. We'll dig into the whys, the whos, and the hows of Dunn County's teen court during this edition of The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm joined by two people directly involved with the teen court in Dunn County. First, I'll welcome Malia Myers. She's a restorative justice specialist with Positive Alternatives in Menominee. Malia Myers, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'd also like to thank and welcome Jordan Messing to the program. She's a junior at Elk Mound High School and has served as a defense counsel in the teen court's one of the first test runs. Jordan Messing, thank you for joining us as well.
It's great to be here.
And also, I'd like to thank and welcome James Duvall for being on the program. He is a judge for Buffalo and Pepin counties who works with and refers cases to their teen court. Judge Duvall, thanks so much for taking the time.
Good afternoon, Rich.
And to those listeners out there that have any questions or comments about teen courts, what they do and how they work, give us a call. The number is 800-228-5615. That number again is 800-228-5615. You can also post a question or a comment on our Facebook page. Just go on Facebook, search for The West Side. What do you think of the teen court idea? Is it a common sense solution to keep kids from getting stuck in the criminal justice system, or are teens getting off easy with these types of diversion programs? Let us know. Again, 800-228-5615. That number again, 800-228-5615. Now, before we get into the discussion, we've got a little bit of radio news primer of what teen courts are, what they're all about, and that's from our brand new news intern, Ashley Gettle.
There are a few moments when we are given a second chance, but in Wisconsin, around 40 teen courts have been established to give teenagers just that, a chance to start over. Malia Myers is a restorative justice specialist for Positive Alternatives. It's a nonprofit serving at-risk youth and families in Menominee. She says that while traditional courts focus on guilt and finding a sentence that fits the crime, teen courts turn to peers to help point them in the right direction.
Going before a judge, they go before their peers, and they are judged by their peers then instead. Something that comes out of it that benefits them is that if they successfully complete sanctions and all of that, then they get whatever crime they committed, usually that is expunged from their record.
The goals of the restorative teen court are to help rebuild relationships in both the community and at home through an alternative peer-based justice process that specializes internal learning, accountability, and community service. Trina Wojak is the Youth Program Coordinator for Barron County Restorative Justice. She says their program is specialized to each specific case in order to determine the best solution for the teen.
Management workshop, a communication skills workshop, job skills workshop, whatever the student needs.
The teen court in Dunn County is one of the newest in the state. Organizers plan to meet a couple of times a month, depending on the number of case referrals. Ashley Gettle, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you so much for that, Ashley. And also another call for callers. You can give us a ring at 800-228-5615 with your question or comment about teen courts in Wisconsin and Western Wisconsin. Now, I'd like to start with Malia Myers. I'd like to get a little bit more background for our listeners on what a teen court is. Let's start. So aside from the basics of just being sort of a diversion program, what is it really all about?
Restorative justice as a whole is about giving back to your community, not just paying a fine or paying the sentence for what it is. So teen court is really about, you know, making sure that everybody that was involved, not just the victim, is righted for whatever wrong that they did.
Okay, and that takes many different forms.
Yeah, definitely. Teen court is just one of the ways that, you know, they could go through restorative justice.
But I mean the sentences.
Oh, yeah. The sentences are just, you know, one of the many ways.
Okay. And Judge Duvall, you've been involved with the teen court that serves Buffalo and Pepin counties for a while. What does it mean to you, and what does it mean to the community?
The value in teen court, I believe, is its effectiveness in changing behavior. And that's what I think this is all about. It's not about teens getting off easy. It's about helping teen offenders change the way they think to keep them from reoffending. It's about effective sanctions, not soft sanctions.
But I'll get right to a question I was going to ask a little later. I mean, if you have teens effectively sentencing, you know, their peers, isn't there a chance that they will go a little easier on them because they, you know, they know what it's like and wouldn't want to have to, you know, go through some kind of a sanction or some kind of a sentence instead of a judge who can throw a book at a person?
When teens come into my court and they're sitting at the table, I'm looking at them. Many times you can just see that blank look in their eye because they are looking at me as someone who probably looks a lot like their dad or their parent. Mm-hmm. And it's just another lecture from another old guy. It is, in a way, much more difficult for them to face their peers and have their peers call into question their thinking or, you know, their behavior. And the idea behind teen court is that teens talk to teens in a different way than adults talk to teens, more effectively.
Okay. And Jordan, you've been directly involved with at least the trial run of Dunn County's teen court. So what is the term teen court or restorative justice mean to you?
I guess it's something that, like, when there's teens who, you know, they make a mistake. Kids do stupid things. You know, there's no denying that. And that, like, to have your peers sitting in front of you telling you, yeah, you messed up, but you're going to have to, you know, find a way to fix that, and this is how we want you to do it, is one of those things that I think is more beneficial to not only the teen but to the community. It gets across the point, I think, a little more effectively than just having to dish out, you know, $200-$300.
But that is, I mean, I am no angel, and I've been in situations where I've had to dish out $200-$300. I mean, that hurts, though.
Yeah, I agree.
But it hurts more, you're saying, to actually sit down and face a group of your peers and maybe have to do some other work besides paying a fine?
Well, I mean, I don't really know many teens that want to go out and have to, you know, clean, pick up garbage and stuff because they don't have any other choice, you know? I mean, it's a good thing to do, but there's no teen that wants to really do it willingly, you know? It's
right.
A situation that I think is very beneficial to the community but also teaches a very good lesson.
And Judge Duvall, what kind of crimes are we talking about? I mean, I imagine that an assault wouldn't qualify for this type of a diversion program.
In our program, it is for offenders who are 16 and under. There's a minimum age, I think, of 12 or 13. I don't recall.
Sure.
First-time offenders and for relatively low-level offenses. So some of the most common ones include underage alcohol, tobacco, shoplifting, truancy, things which are, you know, frequently status offenses. Those are the ones that get referred to teen court.
Now, what about, a possession of marijuana that's actually maybe a state statute? Can local county teen courts deal with that?
Yes, they can.
They can. Okay, and there's no wrangling that has to be done to be able to get permission from the state to use this kind of a sentencing model?
In our county, referrals go into teen court from two sources. The first source is human services, and the second source is the court. when a youthful offender is caught with marijuana, just to use that as an example, the law enforcement officer has a choice of citing them to directly to court or to send it through human services, and part of that is driven by the age of the child. But once it comes into the court or human services, a call is made, a judgment is made as to whether this is a teen court eligible offense and a teen court appropriate offender. And so ultimately, it's my call for those in court as to whether I'm going to offer teen court as an option. And social workers have a similar discretion for cases that come in through that channel.
Now, being in that position, what kind of circumstances or what qualifies one teen rather than another to, aside from the crime, to go through teen court? I mean, do you have to detect a type of sincerity of someone that really feels bad about what they've done? Or it sounds like it could be a pretty tough decision.
We usually check our records and also make a call to human services to see if there have been prior referrals or anything else going on involving this offender. Sometimes there are family issues which are, you know, going through human services where it's better to handle it, you know, through the system as part of other issues going on in the teens' lives. As I said, it's a first-time offense, so generally if they have not had prior referrals and they don't have other issues within the family, then it's the type of offense and the offender where I would consider it. I usually give them the choice, and I tell them, if you want the straight-up consequence, I'll give it to you. I make sure they understand the significance of the consequence, or I say, you have a choice. I can offer teen court and give you a chance to avoid the consequences I can give, and also to give you a chance to not have this on the record.
Now, Amelia Myers, the teen court in Dunn County is a bit different, but about what age groups does your teen court serve? Is it the 16, and is it the same as in Buffalo and Pepin counties?
The one in Dunn County, we go up until all the way graduation. So they can be 18 years old as long as they haven't graduated high school. Mm. But we do have that same minimum age. I believe it's 12. So it is a teenager, but we do go all the way up. And like you said, it is minor offenses. So it's not things that they typically, if they were going to go through court, that they would be able to be tried as an adult for anyways.
Okay.
So it is those status offenses, those minor offenses that allows them to come through teen court.
And in your case, in Dunn County's case, who is the one making the decision whether or not to refer or whether or not a teen is eligible or should try this?
Dunn County has referrals from Department of Human Services. They also can get referrals from the PD directly.
Okay.
And then schools also have the ability to refer kids for consequences of actions completed in school. So.
All right. And with that, we're going to take our first break here on the west side. We're talking about a new teen court in western Wisconsin and the overall goal of these diversion programs, with three guests directly involved in the process. When we come back, we'll hear about the actual startup of the Dunn County Teen Court. I'm Rich Kramer. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and this is The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. There are now around 40 teen courts in Wisconsin, a number of them right here in western Wisconsin. Perhaps the newest teen court in the state is in Dunn County, and it's awaiting its first case. I'm joined by some of the teen court players in the region, including Judge James Duvall, who works with the teen court for Buffalo and Pepin counties, Jordan Messing, she's a student at Elk Mound High School and a Dunn County teen court volunteer, and Malia Myers, a restorative justice specialist with Positive Alternatives in Menominee. If you've got a question or a comment for any of our guests or about the overall subject of teen courts, give us a call. 800-228-5615 is the number. You can also leave us a question or a comment on our Westside Facebook page. So, Malia Myers, how did this teen court in Dunn County get its start?
Well, in Dunn County, there's a community collaboration council called the CJCC, which is the Criminal Justice Collaboration Council, I believe.
Okay.
And part of that is to figure out what services are needed and what kind of gaps we are seeing in the system as far as judicial and offenders go. So there was a subcommittee directly related to juveniles, and we determined that teen court was something that was missing. And so we wrote and received a two-year grant from the Bremer Foundation that has allowed us to start this program.
Okay. How is the makeup? I mean, who is in charge of – is there like an advisory council filled with people from the community or anything like that?
Nope, that's me.
That's you.
I'm kind of in charge of it with the help of – I have an intern. Her name is Sam. She helps me out a lot. Aaron Mason has kind of really started the program. So really it's Positive Alternatives that is doing it with some help from the subcommittee from the CJCC. So we are getting guidance from them as to – or at least we did as to, you know, how they think this program should work. But really we're the ones running it and facilitating it.
So you've got to be some busy people, because that's not the only service that Positive Alternative offers. I mean, there's a whole number of them.
Yes, a whole number of them.
Okay. So you haven't had a case yet, but we'll get into a little bit about the mock trial that was held recently. But why haven't you had a first case, and when will it happen?
We haven't had a first case yet, partially because our referrals have been, you know, there but waiting to be sent over. But we also needed permission from the Dunn County judges in order to get this up and running and the diversion court over there. So we were waiting on that letter of approval, and we finally got it. And now it's just a matter of getting them scheduled and getting them in. And working with our judge as well, our teen court judge.
Okay. So is there one is there an actual case pending or coming up?
Yep, we have two cases scheduled for March 14th, and then we have one waiting on March 21st. So.
All right. So what kind of partners are there in the community? Funding, whether it be funding or not, is this a true community-wide effort?
I think it's starting to get that way. At first, not many people knew about it, but we are definitely opening it up, and we're getting the word out there that it's happening and that it's starting up, and people are really starting to jump on board, especially school officials, principals, all of those kind of people. They're really seeing the benefits to this, and they're helping us spread the word. So we're definitely getting more of a community following at this point.
And although it is a teen court, there is an adult involved?
Yep. Diane Cole is an attorney in Menominee, and she has agreed to be our judge. So she will be the only person, the only adult, I should say, that has a little bit of say as to what sanctions are and what the teen has to do in order to complete their sanctions.
Now, this leads me to the different types of teen courts. It's not a one-size-fits-all. There's actually, I don't know, three or four different kinds. What is the official title of the Dunn County Teen Courts model, or what is it called?
You know, I don't know the official title for what it's called.
But it's – how does it work?
But it is different. The Dunn County Teen Court has an actual prosecuting attorney and a defense attorney, which are youth that are acting in that. They also have a bailiff, and they have a clerk that sits in on the court as well. So they have all of those pieces plus a jury. And in order to come through teen court, they already have to admit guilt. So the attorney's jobs aren't to, you know, argue for guilt or not guilt. The prosecuting is to argue for harder sanctions, and the defense is to argue for lesser sanctions. So, you know, this is the defense really is this is what the youth is doing already. This is what they've already had for a consequence. You know, we should go not lighter on them, but we should take that into consideration when giving sanctions. And the prosecutor is, yeah, but this is the crime that they did, and we need to, you know, make them pay for it, I guess, in a sense. So,
sure.
So those are kind of the differences. And then the bailiff and clerk, you know, do what bailiffs and clerks do.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yep.
Judge Duvall.
Our model is somewhat different, and perhaps understandably, I like certain aspects of how we do it.
Uh-huh.
We use a more of a panel approach where the offender appears by themselves pretty much in front of a panel of 3 to 5 specially trained teens from schools other than the school of the offender for the session.
And why is that important?
Because the communication is directly between the teen panelists and the teen offenders. The parent has to attend, but the parent is off to the side. And the parents can't speak unless the panelists ask them to participate. Hmm. It's a one-on-one communication between the teen panelists and the teen offenders. And I like that model because, as I said, the idea is effective results. And the idea is we get it by having communication between teens, not being filtered by an advocate or other persons.
Okay. Now, how long has the teen court or has there been a teen court program for Buffalo and Pepin counties, roughly, if unless you've got an exact date?
I believe we started it in 2000, and so it's been operating for about 11 years.
Okay. Any ballpark numbers for how many teens have gone through the program?
I would say over that period of time, somewhere in the 400 to 500 teens, approximately.
Sure.
We had more referrals in the early years than in the later years, and we've had a lot of discussion of why that is. But I would say that's a fair estimate of the numbers of teens that have come through our program in that period of time.
So let's talk recidivism. I mean, how do we measure success? Is it just with recidivism of teens through the court system?
Well, the goal is to change how teens think to prevent reoffense. And it's a little hard for us to accurately measure recidivism other than anecdotally because teen records are confidential. And so unless they reoffend in our counties, we may not see it. But I can tell you that based upon the reoffense rate within our counties, the program has been tremendously effective.
Very good. Malia Myers.
The numbers that we have when we were writing the grant, and like Judge Duval said, were based off of that 80% of teens are, or 80% of teens are not reoffending.
Very good. And with that, we'll take a break for Wisconsin Public Radio News at 5:30. We'll be right back with talk about teen courts. I'm Rich Kramer. I'm Rich Kramer, and this is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about a new teen court in western Wisconsin, Dunn County to be exact, and we're talking about why these types of juvenile programs are becoming more commonplace in the state. I'm joined by high school junior and Dunn County teen court volunteer Jordan Messing, restorative justice specialist with Positive Alternatives, Malia Myers, and Judge James Duval. If you've got a question or comment for any of our guests, give us a call. The number is 800-228-5615. We've got open phone lines right now, and you can also leave a question or comment on our Westside Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and type in the search bar, The Westside. Otherwise, you're not going to find it. It's a little tricky. So we were talking a little bit about the different teen courts. And the Dunn County Teen Court, I understand, Malia Myers, is pretty brand new. No, as we said, there's no specific actual cases yet, but there was a mock trial. And I'd like to now go to Jordan Messing. And though this mock trial was mock, you didn't really know that it wasn't real, is what I understand.
Yep, we... Since I was the defense lawyer, I had a meeting with the client and her sister previous to the actual court date. So I got to meet them and actually talk to them. And then after we had already gone through the whole court case and stuff, we found out that it was just a mock trial, just for practice. And, I mean, it was a good thing because we took it seriously because we thought it was, you know, our first thing and we're ready to go. But it was a good learning experience.
So what kind of training and what kind of, aside from the just training to become a defense attorney for the teen court, what kind of work went into getting ready for this case that you thought was the real deal?
There was a meeting before, so I got a chance to get the inside scoop on the whole situation. Then I had to sit down and pretty much write up my case, which took a little while to write, like an opening statement, closing statement, and questions and all the stuff in between there.
Okay, and How did it feel being in that position where you were defending what you thought was one of your peers from somewhere else in the county, an actual other, you know, a teenager?
I guess at first it was really nerve-wracking. Like, I was really nervous going into it because, you know how kids can be. They can be kind of, you know, just jerks, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Well, adults too, actually.
Yeah. So I was kind of nervous to go into that and, like, just to meet someone new, I guess, was kind of weird. But, like, after we, you know, got into the case, we started talking on a deeper level. It was a little less nerve-wracking. But then when we got to the actual court, it was kind of crazy, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was crazy about it? I mean, the procedures or just standing in front of a, you know, other group of people watching you? What was crazy about it?
Well, it's one thing to see on TV, you know, like on Law & Order, you see those kind of court cases. And then to be in an actual courtroom doing kind of an actual, like, court thing, I guess there was media there, too, which was kind of weird to see, like, newspapers and stuff. And, I mean, it was a new experience, definitely. I've never been in that kind of position before. I guess, like, the fact that we were judging our own peers, like, you know, kids from our own age group and from similar family backgrounds, I guess, is you get a better understanding for it than what, like, adults would have.
Yeah. Sure. Sure, maybe a little bit. More empathy, a little bit, yeah, just a, okay. What did you write, or first of all, let's talk about the case itself. It was someone that was a teen, supposedly, that had gotten in trouble for underage drinking, right?
Yep, she and her friends were out celebrating her birthday, and they were at Quick Trip, and her friend was drunk and driving, but the girl that was actually in teen court had double the legal limit, but was only in the passenger seat.
Uh-huh.
Her mom had just died, like, a year back, so it was difficult to be like, well, I don't want to be, you know, super hard on her because she just lost her mom. You know, it was within a month time span of when she was arrested before, and so, like, I guess the case itself was pretty difficult to try to, you know, come up with a sanctions for and stuff.
So she, in the outside world, she would have, in, you know, outside of the teen court, that is, she would have paid a fine and been over, or done with it, maybe some counseling or whatever. But what did you recommend for, as a defense attorney for this person?
I had 10 hours of community service, an apology letter to her sister, and then I had counseling for her and her sister to attend together. Just try to get that family connection in there.
Sure. And did you win the case? Is there a winning a case in this situation?
I don't think it's really a win-lose kind of case. It's, you know, I mean, either way, it's a win-win in a sort of way. But they went with closer to my sanctions than the prosecution.
Okay. And you knew that this person had already admitted guilt. So did that kind of affect anything from your point of view?
Not really, I guess. I mean, we knew that she did it, so I don't really think it affected that.
Okay, cool. So why do you do this? Why did you get involved with the Dunn County Teen Court?
Initially, it was just something to do, something to pass the time. As it got closer, I got more and more excited about it. We went to training, and I just thought it was so cool, and it is really cool. It's, you know, it is something to do to pass the time, but, I mean, if you're interested in, like, the criminal system, like, that's something that is definitely a plus.
So are we going to hear about attorney messing in the future?
Hopefully.
Cool. All right, Amelia Myers, that seems like a dirty trick not to tell these people that this was wasn't a real case. Why did you do that?
Part of what Jordan said, you know, to make sure that they took it seriously. We wanted them to feel more comfortable when an actual case came around. And Jordan talked a lot about nerves and all of those, you know, anxieties that she was feeling. So making sure that they were comfortable, had an idea of how the courtroom was going to go. During training, we attempted half of a mock trial and, you know, just there was a lot of questions and things. So seeing how it goes smoothly and making sure that they were still taking it seriously at that time.
And Jordan mentioned that there was some media there. I imagine the media won't be at the real case come March 14th.
No. All juvenile matters are closed cases. So the only people that will be in there is the volunteers and myself and then the judge as well.
Now, Judge Duvall, in Buffalo and Pepin counties with the teen court there, how do the teens get trained to mete out justice?
We have a annual training session. It's operated by Positive Alternatives and in conjunction with my office, and they've been very effective and very good in doing that. Because we're dealing with students and generally junior and senior students, most commonly, we lose a third to a half of our panelists each year.
Sure.
So we're continually bringing in new students who not only learn from Positive Alternatives, but also from the existing panelists. And so they have an introductory session. We try to give them an idea of the philosophy behind teen court and also how to think about consequences and what they're doing. And then they learn from other panelists as they do the job. The panels usually are a mixture of experienced and new panelists.
So are there any mock trials after their training is done? Do they have a mock trial or they get thrown right into it?
I think during the training they go through a session or two just so that they understand the process and how it works. But otherwise, because it's an existing and operating program, they get worked into actual cases.
Okay. Now, during one of the breaks, Judge Duvall, you mentioned that you wanted to talk a bit about the word diversion, a diversion program. Again, I'm going to, play a devil's advocate here and say that this whole concept of positive peer pressure, isn't there a concern that teens go easier on teens than an adult would go on a teen?
The word diversion, I think, takes us in the wrong direction in a way. It does divert because it's an option outside of the usual court system. But the focus should be on effectiveness, on how we change behavior, because that's the goal of the system, is to change the way people think and to get down to the risk factors that's causing them to offend in the first place. I love Jordan's story, which I hadn't heard before. And the story about the, just another juvenile drinking, twice the legal limit. They come and see me. I give them a $200 fine and, perhaps suspend their driver's license for a short period of time. They walk out of that court system. They are done. Jordan talked about what's going on behind that the juvenile drinking case. She talked about the loss of a parent, I think it was, and perhaps conflict with her sister. And frequently, those are the things in a child's life that are behind the type of behavior that is getting them into trouble in the first place. And teen court is a more effective way at reaching behind the motives of the offenders than I can possibly do in the courtroom.
Now, if a teen successfully completes a teen court sentence, what happens after that? I understand that their record might be expunged of the offense?
Conceptually, they admit the offense in the court or with human services. They are then referred to Positive Alternatives to go through the teen court process. I'm not part of it at all.
Okay.
I just get a report back that says they have completed their sanction and we actually dismiss the case. So the case is dismissed. They do not have the conviction, and that's one of the carrots behind this.
Okay. And Malia Myers, if a person fails to complete a sentence, what do you say to a Judge Duvall then?
We just let them know that they haven't completed sanctions, whether they were missing part or all of them. And then it gets referred back to court, and they have to go see Judge Duvall again.
And then they just go through the regular process then, Judge?
Well, I can tell you it's a very short conversation once we get into court the second time.
Yeah.
And they receive the consequence, and usually it's a consequence that is less effective in changing behavior and sometimes, you know, more detrimental impact on other aspects. For example, the juvenile drinking, you know, the penalty of that is not the fine. It's not even the license suspension. It's the impact on a young driver's insurance cost for years.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure that's effective, but it's terribly disruptive to families and to young lives.
All right. We'll take our final break here on the West Side, but we'll be back in just a bit with some final thoughts on teen courts with our guests, Malia Myers of Positive Alternatives, teen court volunteer Jordan Messing, and Judge James Duvall. This is the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and this is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio's 88.3 WHWC. We're talking about teen courts, programs for low-risk first-time offenders that they're aimed at keeping these teens from recycling through the criminal justice system by attempting to change behavior rather than just punishing it. I'm joined by Malia Myers. She's a restorative justice specialist with Positive Alternatives in Menominee. That's the group that's facilitating the court in Dunn County and in Pepin and Buffalo counties. We also have Jordan Messing on the program. She's a high school junior from Elk Mound and a volunteer with the Dunn County Teen Court. She recently was a defense counsel for a mock trial in that court. And we're also joined by James Duvall. He's a circuit court judge for Buffalo and Pepin counties who also refers cases to Positive Alternatives and the respective court, teen court for Buffalo and Pepin counties. We've got some time for calls yet. We haven't had one, and the lines are wide open. Call in and share your thoughts about teen courts, whether they work, whether you think they should be happening in more counties, more areas. Give us a call, 800-228-5615. That number again is 800-228-5615. Now, I'm going to ask each of you, but I'm going to start with Malia Myers. Why do you think, you know, we've got about 40 teen courts. That's the best number I could come up with. And we've got 72 counties. Why do you think there aren't more across the state? Is it not a successful model, or is it something else?
I definitely don't think that it's because of the model that people are using. I think more of it is because of funding options at some points, and also because it is, you know, very resource intensive. My job consists of not only facilitating the court, scheduling the court, making sure that we have volunteers, but also following that respondent or offender for the next 45 to 60 days, making sure that they're completing their community service, writing their essays, you know, doing all of the little things, and then reporting back to the court when it's finished. So I have a lot of time in between and a lot of things that I need to track that makes it a little bit more intensive than, you know, going to court and then getting their sentence and coming out.
Sure. And Judge Duvall, I was impressed with the fact there's a teen court in Barron County. Eau Claire County, I believe, has one. No, it doesn't have one?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, my mistake there. But Pepin and Buffalo counties, both very small counties, they have a teen court. So why don't we have one in an Eau Claire or other parts of the state, in your opinion?
Like so many things in small communities, it takes someone to step forward and lead this project. And in our case, it came out of Extension. Extension, in the past anyway, as part of their youth programs, was promoting the teen court process. The other thing is that there's a real change in your thoughts within corrections or the judicial system or the prosecutor. It's politically popular to be tough on crime and to have a punitive approach to bad behavior. But the research strongly suggests that that's not effective in changing behavior. What you need to do is to change the way people think to prevent them from reoffending. And sometimes traditional punishment is not the most effective way of doing that. But there's a real mindset change that has to happen throughout the system, and some group has to step forward to lead the way.
Right, and you've got something that just came back recently, I mean, to kind of follow up on that, the truth in sentencing. And it's, again, one of those kind of tough-on-crime stances. Jordan Messing, You mentioned that the community does benefit from a program like a teen court. What would you say to communities that don't have it? Why do they need to start one?
Well, I mean, it's definitely putting something back into the community that, you know, people have been taking out without restoring. You know, like we have people or the teens that come through, their sanction is required is community service. So there's things out there like where there's garbage cleanup and there's other things like humane societies and just other resources that the community will benefit from having someone there to do the restoration.
Okay. Now let's talk about funding. It's something that is behind every single topic we've ever had on this program and ever will have. James Duvall, you've been at this game or the teen court game for a while. Has funding dwindled because of tightening county or local budgets? And again, where does the funding come for your teen court?
We started out with a grant, just as Dunn County is doing.
Okay,
but that grant had a limit term which expired long ago. The county has supported in the past, but with the current environment, that support is not where it could be. The place that our program is really supported is in the community. The local Lions clubs, the schools, the community clubs, you know, they have, we regularly go and speak with them, and panelists have done mock trials in front of them to help them understand the process, and they have been tremendously supportive. Our program exists because of the support of the community.
Very good. And Malia Myers, what portion of your job is chasing down funding for a teen court, or is it so new when you've got this grant now that you don't have to worry about it yet?
Now that teen court is up and running, a large portion of my job is going to be to go out and define that funding now that we have it started and backed. Up until this point, it's been really starting all of the programs, but I'm sure soon I'll be out there, you know, looking for more. So.
Right. It's a battle no matter what. Any kind of nonprofit venture, it's always a constant struggle to find that funding and secure that funding. So before we get into it, I want to end the program in a bit with kind of a favorite example of what teen court is or what it should be. But before that, I'm interested in hearing, you know, we hear a lot of teens' problems, whether it be poor grades, drug, alcohol abuse, whatever. It stems from poor parenting. Now, Judge Duvall, can teen courts sentence adults to be better parents? Is that a possibility?
It's ironic. The teen court panelists have more power or options than I do. because I can assess fines, I can take away licenses. They can touch people. So they can do things such as tell parents as part of the consequence they need to, you know, be involved in that child's life or do something. The beauty of teen court is that it is driven by how the teens perceive the needs of the other teens, and they are pretty wide open in shaping the response that best addresses those.
All right. And Malia Myers.
Part of sanctions that we can include, we have a program that we run called Strengthening Families, which involves both the youth and the parent. So our jury members can use community programs such as that as sanctions as well.
All right. Now, quick story. I know it's young, the teen court in Dunn County, but what's been a favorite moment of yours, Malia Myers, in that experience?
I think at the training when everybody was practicing, answering questions and all of that, that was definitely a favorite moment to see them go from, like Jordan said, oh, this is something to, you know, kill time, to, oh, this could be something that I'm really going to get into. So
cool. Judge Duvall?
Well, I can best tell that, convey that by telling a story about an actual case from teen court from many years ago. And it was just a juvenile drinking case. From my point of view, I refer it to teen court. When the panelists met with that child, they could see that that child had so many issues with the mother that was there that was the source of the problem that was going on in the child's life, issues arising out of a recent divorce. Their consequence was that child and parent had to spend 30 hours together. 1 month after they completed the the coordinator got a letter from the mother talking about their renewed parent-child relationship. That child volunteered as a panelist and became involved in teen court.
Very cool. And Jordan Messings, your favorite experience so far in this this process?
Training was probably the best. It was really interesting to get in there, and we had to watch a video right away at the start, which highlighted all the different like formats of teen court. And then we got to see ours, and that was probably the best part of everything.
Well, that's our time for this edition of The West Side. I'd like to thank my guests, restorative justice specialist with Positive Alternatives in Menominee, Malia Myers, Elk Mound High School junior and Dunn County Teen Court volunteer, Jordan Messing, and James Duvall, circuit court judge for Buffalo and Pepin counties. Thank you all for joining us. I'd also like to give a special thanks to Ashley Gettle for producing that teen court primer story at the top of the hour. Also, a big thanks to Team Westside, including Mort Cypress, for handling on-air production, Henry Lippold for helping produce the program, Grace Fair for promotions, and Ellen Zamarepa and Dean Kallenbach for keeping us all in line. I'm Rich Kramer. Tune in next week. We'll chat again.